We're holding by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Kedusha of the Yom Tov is beginning to make its way into our lives. And there's a few hours worth of things I'd like to talk to you about now, but the constraints of time. So, just to begin. To begin to find a Pesach into Pesach. A Pesach into the Yom Tov of Pesach. Halach Ma'anya. We begin the Seder, the Haggadah of the Halach Ma'anya. This is the bread of our of poverty. Called the Chvin Yesiviyev, called this the Chyesiviyev. So, whoever is hungry, whoever needs, come celebrate the Yom Tov of Pesach with us. We reach out at the beginning of. The beginning of the Seder of Pesach, we reach out with an invitation to everybody. Normally with Farishim and Haggadah, of course, is the obvious question, who are we inviting at this time? It's not much of an invitation, you're already sitting by the Seder. Everybody has their place, and certainly by the Karban Pesach, everybody is already assigned and appointed to be part of that Karban Pesach. So what is going on with this invitation? It doesn't sound like a very sincere invitation. When you're already sitting by the Seder, and you say, whoever wants to come, join me for the Pesach, for the Seder. And all the Mefarshim are discussing this. And if somebody would show up, you wouldn't really have probably what to do with the person and have room and to have masses and so on. Bechlal, obviously there's something very, very deep that's going on here. That the Seder Lel Pesach begins with such a cry of Halach Ma'anya. Something very important is happening. I'll come back to that at the end. The talk now is going to be Aderech HaPshat Mamish, very simple. Because there's a certain point that I want to be ma'ayir, something that I think needs to be emphasized by way of preparing for the Yom Tov. Sometimes it's possible to lose the Yom Tov in a web of details. Now looking up which deodorant is kosher LePesach and worrying about arrangements and so on, one can lose the meaning of the Hal Yom Tov. So tonight I really want to try to somehow bring ourselves into the Yom Tov and to remember what it's all about. So try for a few minutes to get away from a little bit from the pots and the pans and the chametz and so on, and let's focus on the pnimius, on the inner meaning of the Yom Tov. In the morning, we make a bracha. Every morning of our lives, we make a bracha. Asher nosan l'secha yivin l'hachem in yom v'layla. Asher nosan l'secha yivin in some nuschos. That Hashem gave to the sechvi, bina, understanding, to distinguish, to know the difference between day and night. That bracha, of course, originates in Gemara and Brachas and Avsamach. The Gemara says, Kishom Akol Tanagayla Lema Baruch HaShanosan L'Sech Vevina. The Gemara says that when you hear the sound of the rooster, when you hear in the morning the sound of the rooster, then you should make the bracha HaShanosan L'Sech Vevina. We don't do it that way anymore. We say all the brachas together, as is discussed in the sugya. At any rate, That's where the bracha comes from. Asher nosan l'sech v'vina. What is this sechvi? So Rashi says the sechvi means a tanagol, means a rooster. Asher nosan l'sech v'vina. Probably most of the English translations, that's the translation, is the sechvi means a rooster. But Hashem gave wisdom, gave understanding, bina, to the rooster to know the difference between day and night. And that's the bracha. Rabbeinu Osher, the Rosh, however, writes that the heart is called also Sechvi. We find in Tanakh that the heart of a human being is also called Sechvi. He brings a pasuk for that. And that certainly works out very well with the quality of Bina. Asher nosan l'sechvi Bina. Since Lev Maven, the heart, is the seat of Bina. Bina is a quality that is associated with the heart. So Rabbeinu Osher says that it means, be'etzim, it means the heart. So what does the Rosh do with that Gemara? So the Rosh says that really man has this ability to distinguish between day and night, and the sound of the rooster, the Rosh says that the sound of the rooster is a siman. It's a siman, ba'alma. It's a way for us to, it's just a way for us to know. The Chachamim therefore established the bracha on the sound of the Tanagol, but really it's the heart of the person that is able to distinguish between day and night. And we're thanking Hashem for that ability that we have to know the difference between day and night. This bracha of Ashenosan Lasechvi Binu Lahavchem Ben Yomiv and Laila, this bracha is the beginning of how a Jew thanks Hashem each day. It's the first of the Birchas HaShachar. It's the very beginning of the expression of thankfulness to the Creator. Therefore, we understand that Hakaras HaTov that we're expressing, that we have that ability to understand. Because that's what this bracha is all about. We're thanking Hashem's bracha for that koach of bina, of understanding. The essence of man is his ability to reason, is his ability to understand. Dei haknisa machasarta, dei chasarta machanisa. And if a person has understanding, if a person understands, he has everything. And if a person is lacking in understanding, then no matter what he has nothing. Therefore, the first bracha of that section of Shemoneh Esrei, the middle section of Shemoneh Esrei, where we begin to request, we ask Hashem, we beg Hashem for what we need most. So the first in the Seder of those brachas is Ata Chayinim La'odam Das. Chaneinim Me'icha Chachma Binah V'Das. That we ask Hashem for Chachma Bina and Das, Deya Bina V'Haskel. We ask Hashem for understanding, because that is the most important bakasha, the most important thing that a human being can have is Bina, is understanding, the courage to understand. Chayin Das. Therefore, we need to understand as Bina Bina. We need to try to understand. Why is it that when the bracha was established, we express our thankfulness for this ability to understand by saying, Rabbi Shalom, you gave me the ability to understand the difference between day and night. You look outside, you see if it's night. This is the havchana, asher nosan lasech v'bina v'haraya. Even a rooster can do it once. It's just a big chachma. Rashi says Poshut Pshat, Sechri means a rooster. And even Rabbeinu Osher says that the Chacham established the bracha for the sound, it means the Pharish Gemara. That this is the sound of the rooster. The rooster knows, however it knows, the difference between day and night. So if we're talking about this amazing Kayach of Bina, which is the essence of man, we could think of some better way of demonstrating man's ability to understand. And by saying that he is able to distinguish between day and night. It's not a big chachma. What's the big havon? What do you have to be a big maven? Asher nosan lasechvi bin. A day consists of two parts, of the night and of the day. Vayera vayibayker. It was evening, it was morning. And as you all know, and the Gemara explains in Chulin, and this affects us every day of our lives, there's a different way that Jews look at a day than the way non-Jews look at the day. There's a difference. By our people, the rule is that the Hayyim is Haylach Achar Halayim, with the exception of an area in Halacha, one specific area. The general rule is that the Yom is Haylach Achar HaLayla, that we begin, the day begins with the Jewish people at night, the night before. That's when we begin. That's how we count days. Hayom Haylach Achar HaLayla, we begin with the night. Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker. That's the Seder of creation. It was night and it was day. It was the evening and it was the morning. Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker. That's how we count time. That's how we count days. Bereisha Chashucha. V'hadar Nahayra. In the beginning there's darkness and then there's light. The Umas Ha'olam, however, the nations of the world, non-Jews, the rule is that Halayla is Halach Achar Hayayim. By the nations of the world, they count the days beginning with the day and then concluding with the evening. Halayla Halach Achar Hayayim. Understand this, because in that one principle, in that difference between how a Jew looks at a day and a non-Jew looks at a day, is the entire Yiddishkeit. It's all that it means to be a Jew, is in that chilek. In that chilek between how we look at days. Let me explain. Bidchu v'Hashem adayad ki b'kah Hashem tzur olam. Hashem, as you know, created worlds. Ki b'kah Hashem, with the letters Yud and Hey, Hashem created two worlds, as the Gemara explains. With the letter Yud, Hashem created Olam Haba. Hashem created that dimension of reality that we don't see with our eyes. Please don't think of Olam Haba as something that's going to happen later. Olam Haba is here now. We just don't see it. We're not aware of it. So with the letter Yud, Hashem created that dimension of reality that's Olam Haba. And with the letter He, as Behi Baram, as Behei Baram, with the letter He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Olam Hazeh, created this world. This world, as the Chachamim tell us in Pirkei Avos and in many other places, this world, with all that it has, in its entirety, this world is described by our Chachamim as a praise door, as a hallway, as a praise door, and as a hallway, and that description of it being a hallway, as it's understood by the Tzaddikim, our Chachamim are telling us that this world is A, limited and finite. It is a limited, finite, restricted, constricted place. That's the nature of this world. When the Chachamim said, Haskein asmecha v'prayizda kadesha tekodes l'tzarklin, do what you can to correct and repair your ways in the hallway. Do the best you can to make yourself ro'i, to make yourself worthy and fit in this 120 years of the hallway. So in doing so, you'll be prepared to enter into the great banquet hall. This is a description that you're all familiar with, since we're children, we've been hearing this. Haskin asma chaber praizda, in order that you should be able to enter into the charklan, into the great hallway, which is Olam Haba, which means chayim nischim, eternal life, Olam Haba. That means all that we experience in this world, all that we experience from the moment that we're born until 120, and all of human history, from the beginning till this moment, is, as we say in the Pasuk, in Davening we say this Pasuk, is Yameinu Kitzel Oiver. It's like a passing shadow. And you know, Yameinu Kitzel Oiver, so Rashi brings down there on Tehillim, you should know when it says, when David HaMelech said that all the days of our lives are like a passing shadow, you shouldn't think that it's the shadow of a palm tree or the shadow of a wall. That's already a lot. It's like the shadow of a bird flying over your head. Just for that 1 second. Don't get carried away. It's not a chosh of a shadow. It's just the shadow that a bird makes for that second flying in the sunlight over your head. That's this entire world. Therefore, the mitzvahs of this world, the purpose of this world is hayayim la'asaisom ulamoch l'kabel scharam. This is a world in which we are required to perform certain things, to act and carry ourselves a certain way. But the final schar and the final reward, the final menucha, is Misha Tarach Be'erev Shabbos Yochel B'Shabbos. The one who worked hard in this hallway of our existence, in the hallway in the Prozdor, that is a person who has prepared Erev Shabbos. And then that person will be able to enjoy Shabbos in that world which is forever and ever. This is something I'm just repeating something that you and I know when we think of and we're familiar with from the time that we first thought about being Jews. So here is the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. Here is the difference between the way that we look at the world and the way that the world looks at the world. By the Jewish people, Hayayim is Harlech Acher Halayla. By the Jewish people, the day begins at night. Vayyar, Vayyar, Vayyar. That means that the Jewish people understand that this world, which is only a hallway, this world which is not the Tachlis, those of you who were here last week understand that tonight is the conclusion of last week's talk, but you could understand this talk without last week, or not understand it without last week. But it's a conclusion of what I was talking about last week. The Jewish people, a Jewish person understands that what we are living through right now, this life, which is filled with Yisurim, filled with suffering and difficulties, which is completely omal v'yigia, working and schlepping and crashing, is a din. The din in the Gemara is bola mara lo yotze. If you swallow the mara without tasting it, you're not yotze. The Ishbitza says that means that if you think you're going to get through this world without tasting any bitterness, you haven't fulfilled your obligation as a human being. You have to taste the mara. There's a taste of bitterness. This world is filled with bitterness. Chazal say in the Gemara, Olam Hazeh, this world is compared to the night. Olam Haba, the world to come, is compared to the day. Therefore we understand, when the Jewish people count the day in such a way that it begins with night and it concludes with the day, that means that be'esem, in essence, every Jew must understand that this is not it. This is not it. You see, since the life of man consists of or and chayshach, of light and of darkness, of good and of difficulties, of simcha, but to a large extent, life consists of difficulties and bitterness and hard work. That's the mitzias of man. There's yom and there's laila. There's yom and there's laila. The only choice that man has is which do you want first. Do you understand that? Which do you prefer to have first? That's all man's choice. You don't have a choice. You can't cross off one of them. You can't opt to have all day, all the time. You can't. To have all good, all sweet, all comfortable. That's not man's bechir. Man's choice is simply this. Either you begin with the night and conclude with the day, or you begin with the day and conclude with the night. That is it. Zekol ha'adam. That's man's choice. That's man's choice. Now they say a ma'aseh from the tzaddik, the Orpnei Moshe, that once he went with his son. This will sound a little bit harsh, but it was a different time, different way. He took for the first time his son to Tevel in the ice water. But Moshe, the Orpnei Moshe, was one of the great Talmidei Baal Shem, was a big hidden tzaddik. Only at the end of his life became known who he was. The Orpnei Moshe had a place where there was a piece cut out from the ice, and he would go outside and would tovel in the ice water. And he took his son, who was only 7 years old, and he said to his son, I'm sure the Rebbe was thrilled, that he has to learn the meaning of purification. So he brought him to the ice water. And Moshe himself tovel, we don't even understand what that means, but you know, if you go into the shower and the hot water's not on right away, it's a whole, you know, it's Gehenim Shel Shelig, you know, you don't know what to do. So the tzaddik came out, and then it was time for the little boy. So he had to undress there in the freezing cold winter. And when he went into the water, he gave such a scream, the little boy was screaming. And his father was waiting for him with a towel. He climbed up, he helped him up, and he wrapped the towel, and he went, So the Orpnei Moshe said to his son, you see, the difference between a mitzvah and an aveira. He says, when it comes to a mitzvah, when you're doing the mitzvah, it hurts, but afterwards, it's good. When it comes to an aveira, when you're doing the aveira, it's good, but afterwards, it's good. That's the whole chiluk. That's the whole chiluk. Is the laila's halach achar hayayim, of the yom is hilach achar halayla. You have to go into the ice water. The shaila is when. The Baruch Shalom says that the Jewish people go into the ice water in this world, into the bitterness, into the difficulty, into the mara in this world. And as the Seder of Ayyarah of Ayyibayke, the choice of the Ummah Sa'olam, of the nations of the world, doesn't mean everybody, but the general approach, or the general hashkafa of the secular world, is that there is no Laila. They're trying to do away with that. Let me explain. You know that the wife of Potiphar tried to seduce Yosef HaTzadik. And the lotion of the seduction, of the attempted seduction, is very important, because it says in Torah, Vayi kedarvel Yosef yom yom. And she spoke to Yosef, she was trying to entice him, yom yom, day after day. You see the same thing by Mordechai HaYehudi, Vayi kedarvem Elov yom yom. It's interesting, it's all the opinion of the family of Rochlimena. Vayi kedar, there's a reason for that, we don't have time. We don't have time for that. Vayi kedarvem Elov yom yom. Yom yom. What does that mean? The seductiveness of this world, because the wife of Potiphar wasn't just an effort to seduce Yosef HaTzadik. If that was the beginning of seductiveness in this world, if that was the effort to destroy the Tzadik, it means that until this day, that is the pitui of this world. That is the seductiveness of this world. What do I mean by that? That this world says yom yom. There is no night. There's no light. But he could die very love, yom yom. What are you worried about? There's only day. There's only fun. There's only pleasure. there's only sweetness and goodness. Yosef HaTzadik understood that it can't be. He understood Bal Karchuch, the way Hashem created the world is Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker, that there's a long night of deprivation. There's a long night of bitterness, of holding back, of restraint, of loneliness, so that one will have a yom that is forever and ever. But the understanding of the world, and this is what everybody's seeking in the world, as I'm going to explain at great length in a few minutes, the understanding is that why can't we have Olam Haba right now? It's Mat Menucha. Eventually you're not going to have to work at all. The Western world has been working for years and years and years to try to get to the point where there's not going to be a work week, where people are just going to be able to sit in some machine and press a couple of buttons and the money comes flying through the window. To the degree that one is able to diminish the night, he is a successful part of this world. To admit that there's a night means that you're a loser. It means you're unsuccessful. The seduction of this world and the greatest lie of this world is you don't have to go through the night. You don't have to. It's Vekedavel of Yayim Yayim. Which is not to be confused with Baruch Hashem Yayim Yayim. Which if I have time we'll talk about that. But the whole seductiveness of this world is it should be Menucha. This world is a place where we can have all of the pleasures, all of the delights, v'chol. So we understand that the choice of the Jewish people who understand, who have been this quality of understanding, to know to make a distinction between night and day, and to know that the rule of creation is Hada Chashucha, that what the Reisha Chashucha v'Hada Nahayr, in the beginning it's Vayi Erev, and then it's Vayi Boker, and as long as the night seems to us, it's nothing compared to the infinite, endless day of Hashem's Brachas. Therefore, we have a rule that the beginnings and ends are all connected. So the end of the Seder is, or the minig of Klal Yisrael, which the Chidor wrote was brought to the attention of the Chidor, that there was somebody who was ridiculing, who was mocking the Haggadah, that we say at the end of the Haggadah, the Haggadah contains the deepest mysteries of creation, the Haggadah. So Chargadya, Chargadya, the Zabn Abba Bisrei Zuzah. One goat, one goat. that father bought for two zuzim. Chadgadje, chadgadje. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says, Rabbi Zeir says there in the Gemara that there was a whole mice in the Gemara, that one of the tzaddikim was in a very good mood. It was an Yisrael, so he said to somebody, ask me for whatever you want now, and I'm going to give it to you. Whatever you want, I'm going to give it to you. That's how the mice with Rabbi Zeir in the Gemara, and with Rabbi Yehuda. So, whatever you ask for, you should ask, he said, for talumas chachma, even if you ask for the most hidden wisdom, I'm prepared to give it to you. I'm prepared to reveal the most hidden wisdom. So the Gemara says like this. He asked, my timer, azim is tagin bereisha. Why is it that when you have a flock of goats, the black goats are in the front, are always going in the front of the flock, and then afterwards the white ones. First the black goats, and then after the white goats. So Amalei, Kibriyasa Shal Oila. He answered, because this is the way the world was created. What did he mean by that? The Bereisha Cheshucha, first there is darkness, first come the black goats. Vahada Nahaira, and afterwards there is light. First there is the night, and then there is the day. So the Yad Yosef says over there, which brings brought down the Medrash, Shehem Dibur Tachtan, Rom Zabeli, and Liachad Yechud Neroim. Obviously, and the Mashal talks about this, obviously something very deep is there. He said, I'm prepared to reveal to you Talumas Chachma, the deepest secrets of the universe. I'm prepared to tell you. So what's he asking him about? The farm? That's all he could think of? You and I would have a whole list of questions to ask. And he asked the question, why do the black goats go in front of the white goats? And the answer was, says it possible. That's the way of the world. First it's night, and then it's day. So, based upon what we learned until now, we can understand. You know, the Jewish people are called a gedi, a seh, a goat, a lamb. We find this throughout Tanakh. Seh pezuri Yisrael. The Jewish people are called also. And as all the Mepharshim talk about, the Chadgadje is the Jewish people, right? That one lonely little Gedi is the Jewish people, the Chadgadje. So this Gemara is revealing to us the nature of the Chadgadje, the way of Hashem's lonely flock, of his son Kaddishim in this world, that the Jewish people alone understand that the black goats go at the beginning of the they're in the front of the flock, and only afterwards are the white goats, because this is the life of the Jewish people bechlal, and the life of the Jewish person befrat. We shouldn't know from any source, but this is the way of this world. That the Yom is Hailach, Acher Halayla, that it begins with the darkness, it begins with bitterness, it begins with difficulties, that this world is only a hallway. But at the end of the hallway is the track, when is that amazing place, which is called the Yom, and only that is the Yom. You will not find the Yom in this world. Therefore, whoever wants to be a Jew, he has no choice. He has to dip into the freezing cold mikveh of the Arpanei Moshe and to give a scream. He has to go through nisyonos, through tests and through difficulties, as the Ramchal writes at the beginning of Mesillas Yesharim, that this whole world is a world of nisyonos, of challenges, of tests, of difficulties. And he has to hold himself back. How much energy has to be used in order to be able to succeed in that world of Sur Meira, holding back from Aveiros, holding back deprivation. The rest of the world says, live it up, have a great day. This is your day. Enjoy the day. Make the most of the day. And the Jewish people seem to be crazy. We can't do this, we won't do this, we won't do that. For what? And you can't do it tomorrow either. For some mysterious, invisible place or time beyond anything that we've ever seen. And the whole world comes to you and me. And the world, like the wife of Potiphar, comes and whispers in your ear, Vayi kedavra lev yom yom, there's only day. What do you have to go through night? What do you have to go through night? Everything else, if you would work on Shabbos, you'd make this much money. If you would go to that place, you'd have a good time, and so on. Vayi kedavra lev yom yom, there's only day. This is it, this is your one chance. You better have a good time, live it up. There's nothing afterwards. There's nothing afterwards. What's afterwards is Chayshah. What's Chayshah? The grave. Darkness. So that's how the non-Jews count time. First comes the day and then comes the dark. Then later, that eventually you die. And then you end up in the grave. So you might as well have the best yom you can. Have the yom of your life. The best yom you can. That's, do the best you can, because that's all there is. Afterwards is Chayshah. By Yid is Vena HaPichel. L'Havdol by a Jew. Is Vayera Vayibayke. First comes the blackness, the black ghost, the bitterness. But afterwards we believe that there are rechelas, that there are the white. There's the whiteness of Ayibayka. And that's Chargadya, Chargadya. The Zaban Abba Bitrezuze. That one goat, the Jewish people, Hashem's goat in this world, the lamb, Hashem's suffering flock. That it's hinted here, betray Zuzay, Chagadya, Chagadya, betray Zuzay, that is already brought down from the Kadmonim. I think I remember seeing it in the Haggadah talk of the Chidah. That betray Zuzay, the word Zuzay, of course, is coins. It's a currency. But it's also, what's also being hinted at here is the word in Hebrew, which is Lazuz, which means what? Two motions, two movements, two places. The Chidah talks about in Haggadah, Simchas HaRegel, I think. Two places. A Jew understands, Ki Bekah Hashem Tzur Lovim. Chag Gadya that lives between two worlds, betrays Uzi. He moves in two ways. He moves in this world and he moves to the world to come. Betrays Uzi. And therefore, if you look in all the Haggadahs that have Pirushim on the Chag Gadya, the Rabbi Yohanes and the commentaries, the Gra that we have in the Chag Gadya, that a dog comes and the cat and the dog and the stick. What's that talking about? It's talking about the suffering of this world. It's talking about the nations of the nations that have exiled us. Whichever parish you like best, but it's all the same thing. We're getting patched. We're getting clapped. We're having a rough time. Whatever that happens to him, whatever that symbolizes, that vasa kalba, vasa shunra, vasa kalba, v'chula v'chula, vasa nura, vasa maya, vasa sheichet, and so on. Till of us, kachboruch v'shochel amalachim avos. So all of the challenges, all of the difficulties, all of the suffering of this world, and the Chagadya that takes place in the life of the little Gedi, is with a full belief and knowledge that this entire world is no more than a brief night, a hallway that precedes the trackling of eternal daylight, of Yom. Therefore, we begin to say that with Halach Manya. So I already asked the Kashas, and we say the beginning of the Seder is connected to the end of the Seder. That's the rule of Noah's Seif and Betchilosin, that all beginnings and ends must come together. Everything is a circle. It's not a straight line. Yad Chayi v'magle tzedek l'man shemay. Everything is a magle, is a circle. So we begin the Seder with Halach Manya. And we already mentioned at the beginning the question, what do you mean this is the bread of poverty? Everybody, you come eat, whoever's hungry, come over here, I'll give you something to eat. What are you offering? What kind of an offer? Who's there? Nobody's there. I mean, you have your company here. You're not, nobody hears this. Who are you speaking to? Now listen, because here I need to explain things in a very simple way. Baruch Hashem, the Jewish people as a whole are not as impoverished as we used to be. Baruch Hashem. Our grandparents and great-grandparents, to a large extent, lived through much, much greater physical difficulties than we. Baruch Hashem. In terms of having what to eat, we're mostly worried about what not to eat, what we can't eat. In terms of anias, you cannot compare what is now to what used to be. It used to be the Rav Yisrael, the vast majority of the Jewish people lived with physical deprivation, terrible poverty. And Baruch Hashem, even though they're Yidden, that certainly now there are plenty of poor Jews, Hashem Yirachem, but the massive in general cannot be compared to the way it used to be. Even what we call nowadays hungry. You know, in my house, my children, how many times I've told them, and one of my daughters is here, she'll tell you, that, you know, if you say the word starving in my house, that's a big no-no. You don't say I'm starving. But by us, starving means, and nowadays starving means, if I didn't eat for 3 hours, I'm already starved. Our whole perception of starvation, of what that means. If you say that, if you use that word starving in front of a person who was in concentration camp, who experienced starvation, not that, you know, that there's a choice between barbecue and onion, I haven't had barbecue potato chips already in 3 hours, and now there's only onion, I'm starving. It's a different hasaga. It's a different hasaga. Not for all Jews, there's still Jews that are suffering, but to a large extent it's not the same as it was. Also, to a large extent, Baruch Hashem, we're not suffering the rediffus of the nations of the world. Although the nations still despise us, nothing has changed. But in terms of the safety of the Jewish people, b'derach klal, in general, we don't feel the threat of pogroms hanging over our heads, we don't feel an inquisition coming up and so on, or a Holocaust. Although again, not to say that the attitude of the world has changed, but the metzias has certainly changed. We have yeshivas, we live in a Jewish neighborhood. If you don't have enough pizza shops, you feel deprived. If you have only milkshakes, you have fleishigs, now you can get the also special, you know, fish place, or Italian, or French, whatever it is. And if we're missing any of these things, then it's not a good neighborhood, it's not a Jewish neighborhood. And we have Baruch Hashem, the mikvahs and the yeshivas and the schools and so on. It's just a shame, because there's one thing that's really missing. Chedvas hachai. The joy of life. What do I mean by that? Chedvas hachayim. I mean, all the camps are named like that, and then all the car services, Hatzlach HaSimcha, Sosn HaSimcha, you know, all the car services and camps, and everything has these very cheerful names. Everybody sounds so happy from the names of things. But the emphasis is, that Simchas HaLev, that simple feeling of a joyous heart, and Shalvas HaNefesh, and to have a certain sense of peacefulness and inner tranquility that once existed to a large extent by our people, now to a large extent no longer exists. There are many reasons for this. Even when it comes to Yom Tov and Shabbos, it says in the Pasuk V'Samachta B'Chagecha Ata V'Incha B'Tech, it says in the Pasuk that Yom Tov is the Simcha. Most people, when they think of an upcoming Yom Tov, it awakens within them anxiety. They're afraid, they're nervous. What's going to be? Shuas, I have to stay the whole night. There's one thing Shuas is to learn. What am I going to do? How am I going to manage? Yom Kippur, where am I going to find the Shuas of davening? That Baal Tefillah crashed a little bit too much, the Chazan. And then besides, maybe God is judging me, it could be. It's not a comfortable thing. And then it comes to Sukkot. I don't know what's going to be with the Sukkot this year. And the whole tircha and the tirda of having to go through mitzvahs. Pesach and Maladaga, I don't have to even explain what became of Pesach. All these are the things that Hashem said, I'm giving these to you for simcha, to make you happy. You know something? Our ancestors worked harder to make yantas. They had to make everything from scratch. There are always, of course, there are exceptions, and it's a little bit silly and simplistic to generalize. But to a large extent, I believe with all of my heart, that our ancestors looked forward to the Yom Tov with tremendous anticipation. And they enjoyed them in the deepest way, even if it didn't work out, that you didn't get your extra 15-minute nap, or it didn't work out something that you were expecting that day, or the rabbi ended up speaking a little bit too much. There was a certain Simcha Zechaim, a Chedva Zechaim. Whereas now, there's a general sense of yeyush, of despair, of sadness, of nervousness. There's an impatience in the world. Every mitzvah is a burden. The difficulty that one has with children. The whole Simchas Achayim. The whole Simchas Achayim is not the same. And this is despite all the conveniences we have. We don't have to schlep water anymore from the river. You don't have to take your clothing down to the river and hack on a piece of wood or something. We don't have to cook everything from scratch. All of the things in the prosdor, in the hallway, all the things of the world of Yom Yom, Vayikadavar Lev Yom Yom, are better than ever before. All the conditions have been made peaceful, restful, conducive towards Menucha in the most remarkable way. in a way that we never could have dreamt of 5 years ago, let alone 25, 30 years ago. Nevertheless, never has there been a generation that's as impatient, that's as nervous, that's as angry, that feels as besieged with problems and difficulties and aggravation. Why is that? What's the reason for that? It's very simple. The basic reason is very simple. Everybody wants to have sipuka nefesh. Everybody wants to have a sense of fulfillment with what he or she does in this world. You want to feel fulfilled. You want to feel that you're fulfilled with what you're doing. If not, then every single moment of what you're doing is not right as parach. If you hate what you're doing, every single moment is a burden. If you hate what you're doing, it's a burden. It's like being a Mitzrayim. If you don't like what you're doing, then it's not right as parach. A person who's doing something that he or she likes, when it comes to going to a vacation, let's say, and you have to pack up, you can have the strength of Shimshon HaGibbon to get things together and to work on it. When it comes to a ball game, you can have people that run up and down a court for hours, and they can do this and do that, and they enjoy it. You know, if there's a child in the house, I mentioned this once a few weeks ago. If there's a child if there's something that the child wants to do, there's no job that's hard for the child. But if it's something that the child doesn't want to do, then to lift up a pen is like carrying one of the bricks in the pyramids. If you don't want to do it, you have no cheshit to do it, then it becomes, the whole thing becomes, mamish, it becomes the hardest job imaginable. If you don't want to do it, if you want to do it, if you feel fulfilled by doing it, you have a sipuk by doing it, then it's not hard at all, then it's mamish becomes easy. If a person feels that what he's doing the entire day is for no purpose and he's not enjoying it and it has no meaning to him, then it becomes the biggest all. So this is the problem. If you live with a perspective, and unfortunately this is what's happening to us, and I honestly have this on my mind all the time, and a lot of this has to do with the fact that I was away for Shabbos and I was in a community and the Jews were living a simpler kind of a life, and it gave me a certain amount of inspiration, but at the same time, it made me a little bit sad that what's happening bechlal, it's very discouraging, here in New York especially, but not Davka in New York. If a person wants to find sipuk from this world, you want to find sipuk, you want to find fulfillment in this world, in the prosdor in the hallway, it's a problem. Because Chazal already said, Yesh Leimonah, it's a Messiah, you have $100, you're not happy, with $100 you want $200. You're not happy. So therefore, what we've seen take place now, what's happening now, is that the Jewish people, with all of the comfort, with the beautiful house that you were dreaming of, and that you were knocking down walls and fixing and doing all this, and you have the most beautiful house, exactly what you wanted. There's never that sense of satisfaction. There's never that sense of satisfaction. It wasn't like that with our ancestors. It simply wasn't. And the reason is, they were not looking for the yom in this world. Do you understand? They were not looking for the yom in this world. They expected the worst. They anticipated and expected the night of this world. They understood that there's a vayi erev and there's a vayi boker. It was so posh to them, it was in the mother's milk, that this is not where it happens. This is not it. This isn't where it happens. They understood resha chashucha v'hada nahara. They lived in that way. They brought up their children with a chargadya. They brought up the children, the Chagadi is saying that the ikur of kiddulach in this world is to learn Torah, the ikur is to harv, the ikur is to work hard in parnasa, to work hard with learning, to work hard with mitzvahs, to be maisa nefesh for your family. All this mesirus nefesh, it was children were brought up, everything's with mesirus nefesh. They weren't brought up with remote control. They weren't brought up with everything being done by other people. You know, somebody told me, I'm going to tell you, there was a certain gathering where there were some experts, there was a meeting about difficulties that are between that parents, that in-laws have with their daughters, their son-in-law, I don't know, this kind of, some sort of a meeting. And there are two wonderful people who were at that meeting that said that the rabbi or the social worker asked, listen to the question. The question was, my daughter doesn't come to me with the children for Shabbos. My married daughter doesn't come with the children for Shabbos. Why? So I asked her, why don't you come? So she said, because the truth of the matter is that by my in-laws, they have much better accommodations. And by you, I'll tell you something else she says to her mother, by you, Ma, I have to change the linen. When I come to my in-laws, I don't have to change the linen. So the woman asked the rabbi who was on the panel, what do I say to this? What should I do? My daughter's not coming to me because she doesn't want to change the linen. You hear this? You know what the rabbi said? I heard it on tape. He said, tell the shiksa to do it. You hear this? Have the shiksa do it. Kainam call, what if you can't afford a shiksa? Aleph, Beis, what does that mean, tell the shiksa to do it? First of all, you don't talk about people in a derogatory way, Aleph. That's besides that. What is that? That's a chinuch? You tell that girl, you spoiled little brat who changed your diapers. You're not coming because I don't change your linen? A chuspah! And they're asking a rabbi who's going to be mechanech the new generation? How? Tell the shiksa to do it? Tell the shiksa to do it. This is a chinuch? This is what the child needs, this is what that young lady with her soul needs to hear? A chuspah shaykh, this way they'll be solemn. They'll be solemn this way. So the children are being brought up. V'ayikah darber lov yoyin yoyin. I was talking to a fellow 2 weeks ago. He tells me he's looking for a girl that the father-in-law should support him for 10 years in learning. Fine, he wants to learn for 10 years, but you know what the problem is? He also wants to drive the fanciest car. He also wants to live in the fanciest house. He wants to wear the stattiest clothing. He wants to take walks with his little wife down Central Avenue holding hands in the sunset. This is Torah b'doichak. But he wants someone to pay for his learning for 10 years. You want to learn? You have to be prepared to eat noodles. If you mean it, if you're serious about it. Not that any Jew should be deprived, chas v'chalila. Not that anybody should be deprived. But this whole svara, the whole concept, that I have, you know, I'm a little bit kanoi by nature. I really wanted to make a tumult about this, but it wouldn't make a difference. It wouldn't make a difference. We're surrounded by this. We're surrounded by this. The children have to be entertained in school. And it's not a question of being entertained. They can make a production. They don't learn anything for 3 weeks. Fine. Then the next thing they want off. Because we have to work hard at the production. And what's the explanation that's given? We want to create a warm atmosphere. Bumaises. It means when you're teaching, you should be warm. You should be loving. It means when you're giving out the Torah, you give it like a mother gives to a daughter. It doesn't mean that they're being indulged and being treated like little princesses, and that's how you're going to raise the next generation. To where it comes from? I want to be religious, but I want all the pleasures right now. I'm not waiting for anything. There's no waiting. I have to have it now. And if my mother doesn't make the bed, I'll go to the other one. Or I'll have a shiksa do it. That I should have to make a bed. Chalila, that I should make a bed. It doesn't become a person with my stature. What is it? Are we crazy? We have our minds. This is what's happening. This is what's happening to us. By our ancestors, it was just the opposite. They were looking for Sipak HaNefesh, Davki in a capital Tehillim. They were looking for Sipak HaNefesh in a Blat Gemara. They were looking for Sipak HaNefesh, they were looking for joy in a Yontiv. When a Yontiv came, it was a treat. A Yontiv came, it was a treat. Even when it came to listening to a Chazan, now I'm no fan of Chazanis, but even when it came to listening to a Chazan, it's a Hilig Yizach, it's a holy thing. It's a holy thing, it was something to appreciate, even if you're not inclined towards that, but it was something to appreciate. The Ishtikul Torah. You can see it all. You'll see even now. You'll see by the old Jew. Someone says a vark. It's like giving him a candy when he hears a vark. Not like now where he's rolling their eyes like a tar. Therefore, it seems that we've forgotten this rule that for Jews, the yomus harlachachar halayla, first there must be a night, and you might as well accept it. You might as well accept and swallow the maror. And wince and do the best you can to be a Jew, because there must be a night, because you're not living for the day in this world. The day is with a mitzvah, the days with the shtickle Torah. That's when you can taste a little bit of the day. But the big day is only after this world. So therefore, it comes to the Yom Tov HaPesach. even when it comes to its children, how worried many people are that there might be there's a 2-week break in the time that somebody else is taking care of the kids. And we have to devise new camps that will take care of the kids during the time that they're off from school and camp. Because the children have also become an all. Not something to delight in, not something to treasure, but an achrayis, a shibud, and an all. Because they're interrupting my life. They're interrupting my sleep. They're taking up a lot of my money. They're interrupting my fun. They're interrupting my good time. Because if I wouldn't have to pay for this, if I wouldn't have that kid, I wouldn't be interrupted all the time by the children with their needs, with all their needs. I'd be able to do this and this and that and go here and do all kinds of nice things. See, even the children have become an oil, a shibu. The greatest gift that God can give to a human being is a child. But this too is also a shibu. This is also a pain in the neck. And the parents, and how we're losing our tempers, and how we have no patience with the children, no patience. What are you doing? Because why? I was expecting to have my 3-hour break. And you came, and you destroyed my 3-hour break. We're living right, we're expecting breaks. Where does it say that the Baruch Hu is supposed to give us a nap or a break? Show me where it says. It says my Erev, my Baruch. This whole world is Erev. If you get a nap, it should be looked at as a bonus. A mazel, it was a good day. The problem is we go into our life expecting all those things. Just like that little girl, she expects clean linen, someone else to do it for her. So if it's not, oh, he's a schlechte tog. Oh, a schlechte mama. My mother's no good. Because she's expecting it, it's coming to her. Why? All she wants, yom. That's it. What food did we not take from the garden to try to imitate? If you keep calling me so, you don't have to be deprived. Because any single thing that you ever dreamt of, or anything that you once had before you Chol Yisrael, you can now fresh till you drop. And anything that's Chol Yisrael, Metzglat Kosher, whatever you like. Pesach go away, Shavuos go away, Tisha B'Av don't make a retreat somewhere. Whatever you like. The ikur is, I don't want to have a shibud, I don't want to have an O. I do not want my life to be interrupted. That's the ikur. And this pervades everywhere. In all of our communities it's happening. It's somewhere, someone, some less subtle. Then it comes to the end of Pesach. Pesach in the Sfarim HaKadoshim is the Rosh Hashanah of Emunah. It's the beginning of faith. It's the Rosh Hashanah of our Emunah. And the meaning of that is, it's when a Jew is free. Didn't just happen a long time ago. It happens to us now also. It happens to us now also. And the meaning of it is, even though we're still, unfortunately, in Galus, we haven't left Galus, Mashiach hasn't come. The reason that we tell over the story, Pesach night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and all the events that led to Yetzias Mitzrayim, is look how much suffering there was in Mitzrayim. And despite the fact that there was so much suffering in Mitzrayim, there were so many difficulties in Mitzrayim. Uvnei Yisrael, Paru, V'yishutsu, V'yirbu, V'yasim, V'mo'id, Mo'id. Could you imagine? There was no child care in Mitzrayim. And the Jewish people, and I don't know if they had babysitters, and the Jewish people in the suffering, in the misery, had more and more children. They brought more and more children into the world. Why would you want to bring children to such a miserable world? The only answer is, if you think that that's not the whole world. If you think that this is it, this is the whole world, there's no reason to bring more children into Mitzrayim. But the answer is that our ancestors believed that what? That is Reisha Chashucha V'Hadana Ha'ira, that it begins with darkness, but it's only going to come to the light. Therefore they understood that even though they're bringing children into slavery, even though they're bringing children into difficulties, nevertheless, they brought mamish into a Gehenim in this world. They were bringing children to a Gehenim in this world. Just like our grandparents and great-grandparents, where are they bringing children? What kind of a life are they bringing them into? To have some potatoes and a little bit of soup? They were bringing them into difficulties, and yet they would have children. Without the help, they would continue to have children. Because why? When you read over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim Pesach night, it's saying one thing. That the tachlis of a Jew is to serve the master of the world. That's where you're going to find your sipuk. That's where you're going to find fulfillment and waiting for the day. And therefore, if it's the Rebbeinu Shlomo's will that we be slaves, if it's the Rebbeinu Shlomo's will that we have difficulties and bitterness, we will continue to serve Him despite the bitterness, despite the difficulties. Because the tachlis of life is not to have off. The tachlis of life is not to have it easy. That's why he can die with Yonah. The tachlis of life is to be an Eved Hashem. That's what Pesach is all about. It's to be an Eved Hashem in this world. That's what Pesach is. That's the tachlis, to be an Eved Hashem. You know, once happened to Rebbe Moshe Lev Sassever, he used to go around collecting money to try to free Jews from, that were taken ransom. So it happened once that the Rebbe Moshe Lev Sassever, he used to fast from Shabbos to Shabbos, he didn't eat the whole week. And it once happened, he was coming to collect the money, and he was in a place where there was a gevir, a very wealthy person, and the gevir was in the middle of the most delicious meal. So the Rebbe Moshe Lev Sassever said that when he smelled that food, he thought that if he wouldn't eat, he felt he was mamish going to die. He hadn't eaten all the week, and he smelled his delicious food, and the gevir is sitting there right in front of him eating this meal. And Rebbe Moshe Lev Sassever thought he was mamish going to die. So how did he save himself? So he said that he reminded himself of what it sounded like when the Kedushas Leivim and Bedisharov used to say, Nishmas Kol Chai on Shabbos. That's what he thought of. And he had such a geschmack from the Nishmas Kol Chai of the Bedisharov. It was so delicious that to him it seemed that the food was a silly thing, it was nourishing. Because the Nishmas Kol Chai of Kedushas Leivim, that's how delicious that was. So there was such a thing that a Jew was able to sustain himself through the difficulties with having that delicious yontif, that delicious Shabbos, to having a delicious child, to having a delicious kriyishma, a delicious lulav, a delicious esrik, to hear a chazan, to hear shofar bluzen, to an omid, a blat of gemara, to say a kibbutz tehillim, that was a geshmak, that was the kedushas leivus nishmas kol chai, and that gave them life. And they were waiting for the morning. So therefore we begin to say to the whole achmanya, let's come to the end now, Holach Ma'anya. When you sit by the Seder, you begin with Holach Ma'anya. Because Holach Ma'anya means the following. It means I'm not hungry at all. What does it mean I'm not hungry at all? You're not calling out to people. The people are not there. As all the Mepharshim say, you don't have the poor people are not standing there by the. They're not standing there by the Seder. They're not at your table. So who are you saying Holach Ma'anya to? You're saying it to yourself. And the meaning of Holach Ma'anya is, Rebbeinu Shlom, even though in this world we're eating bread of poverty, even though in this world it seems like we have nothing, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechal, I invite every one of my brothers and sisters, I call out to every Jew, I wish that you have the same geschmack that I have from being a Jew, I wish that you should have the same geschmack from a Pesach, from your children, from a Yontif, from a Shabbos, the way that I have such a pleasure from being a Jew. That a Jew is able to sit with a piece of matzah that has no taste. And you're able to sit and say, Halach Ma'anya, we were slaves. But you know something? I'm the luckiest guy in the world. Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechal. You don't look at this stockbroker that made $1 billion with envy. You don't look at this person that had that new house with envy. You look at the rest of the world and you feel Arachmanis. You feel Arachmanis for the world. Because you feel that you have more than anybody else. Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechel. Kol Ditzrich Yesev Yivsach. Come be together to be Pesach with me. Come know, I want you to know, I want another Jew to know, what does it feel like? What does it mean to be free? What does it mean to find meaning in your life? In this world? So now we come to Hanois and Ashenos and Sefer, being alive from Binyan V'layla. Let's come back to the very beginning. So yes, at the beginning, what does it mean, that bracha? Hashem nosal sechri bin lachim bin yom bin laila that Hashem, we say that you gave the rules to the bina, the understanding to distinguish between day and night. That's the main thing that Jew needs to understand. The main thing, the hardest thing to understand is the difference between day and night. The hardest thing to understand is that this world is night, it's not day. If you have that understanding, that requires a tremendous amount of bina. You have to have a bina, you have to have an understanding heart to know that this is not yet the day. And the nations of the world are trying to build a day in this world, but it's not. You have to know the difference between night and day. So why do we say the rooster? The rooster's not so smart. Because you know what's great about a rooster? Not because it's brilliant. But somehow the rooster is able to know that the day is coming while it's still night. That's the godless of a rooster. While it's still night, to feel the approaching day. Because that's what it means to be a Jew. Ashenosan lasechvi bina lahavchim binyam velayla means that even though I'm living through the night, I already can taste and feel the upcoming day. I feel it coming. I feel it happening. That's the meaning of Ashenos Lasechvi Bina Lahavchim Binyam Velayla. That's the bina that's in the heart of a Jew. That's the hardest thing in the world to have. To be able to live through a difficult time or not to have, and to still be able to say, I'm the luckiest person in the world. You know what I have? I have Negel Vaser. I have Negel Vaser. I put on a talis cotton. I say a kapitel tehillim. I have a Shabbos. Why is this delicious? This is the best thing in the world. But they say Maisa. There was a Maisa of the Chiddush HaRim. I'll tell you very quickly. The Maisa was like this, that I'm sure some of you have heard it. So Chiddush HaRim. It once happened that he wanted to get the Kuzk for Shabbos. And it was very, very hard because it was late in the week. And there was a fellow that wanted desperately to please the Rebbe. He was a Balakol, he was a simple Jewish fellow, the wagon driver, and he said, I'll get the Rebbe to Kuzk for Shabbos. He said to the gay Rebbe, Chiddush HaRim. Chiddush HaRim said, are you sure? How are you going to do it? He says, I'm going to do it. And Nebuch, this year, it was Moisen Nefesh. He didn't stop driving. So it happened that one of the horses died. And the Chiddush HaRim was begging, he was ready Friday afternoon. He says, listen, Rebbe, let's just stay in the village over here. We're not going to make it to Kosk. We have only one horse, and this horse is not going to make it, and it's going to be Shabbos. And he says, Rebbe, I promise you I'll make it to Kosk for you. Please let me give it my best shot. And the Chiddush HaRim didn't know what to do. He saw that this Jew was so sincere, he didn't know what to do. So they said, okay. So he went with that horse, and he pushed, and they made it, Mamish. They made it by Lucas Nayers. They made it to Kosk. When they got there, that horse, the second horse, dropped dead over there when they got there. And the end of the Maisa was that this Jew, the driver, so the Chiddushim thanked him, and he ran to the mikveh, he ran to get ready for Shabbos. And by Marav, after Marav, the Chassidim came and told the Chiddushim that the wagon driver died. From such exhaustion, he passed out, and they couldn't revive him, he died. The Chiddushim had terrible, terrible Chalishas Adas, Chiddushim. And it was Shabbos, so he said, no, it's Shabbos. But after Shabbos, I'm going to do what I can for this person. Because it seems that the person was not such a holy person in all that he had done in his life. So after Shabbos was over, the Chiddushim, after Havdalah, Chiddushim closed himself into a room for a long time. And whatever he did, and he came out, and he said, I was poil for the Yid. I helped him out. And how did he help him out? So he said that when he came to Shemayim, this Jew came to Shemayim, so they said, listen, the guy he had thousands of aveiros. He was doing all kinds of aveiros. What are you going to do with this guy? You know, where are you going to take him? But then on the other hand, the Malachal came and said, Aklenikai, he saved the Chiddush HaRim. He gave a Shabbos to the Chiddush HaRim. They should be able to come to the Kosk. It's no small thing. That he was Moshe Nefesh for a Tzaddik, and he did that. So there was a much larger movement, he said, that was going to take him to a bad place. But I went there, and I made a big to-do, made a big tumult, and I was able to be part of it. They agreed to the following. Sokosofi did a lot of aveiros. So you can't take him into Gan Eden with all those aveiros. To take him into the bad place with such a mitzvah, it's also a problem. So they decided, therefore, that he was going to be in the Olam of Dimyonos, the world of imagination. And what was he going to have? He was going to go forever and ever on a perfectly straight road with two healthy horses. Concrete, not dirt. Beautiful road. And he's going to be happy. He thinks he's in this world driving down a beautiful road, and that he has all that he could have. In the Olam HaDimyonos. The stories are very deep stories. It happened with Chiddush HaRim. Hashem is brought to save us, that we shouldn't be like that wagon driver. I don't think I have to explain anymore. Is that Olam Haba? Is that what we're waiting for? Dimyonos. What are we going to have? Central air conditioning forever. This is our Hasagas. Our Hasagas. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. Get out of the Dimyonos. Let's get out of the Dimyonos. It's Pesach. We're free. Free means no more Dimyonos. No more Dimyonos. No. The same way the Baruch Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, will take us out of these Dimyonos. We should be Zoichim as Hashem for the Gula Hashem Varmitis from Hebi Amenu Amen.